You are listening to Fresh Oil, a podcast that examines the human condition while coming to terms with the purpose of life.
Hello and welcome back this week. Fresh Oil with Billy Delaney. And the subject that we're going to talk about today is down the political helter-skelter. So what is on the show? We're going to talk about helter-skelters, what they are, and why they're important in understanding politics. The age-old triumvirate and the machinations that it's employing. The political things going on today. And we're going to look at democracy in its three phases and why that matters. And we're going to look at a book that pokes the politicians with a big stick. And I'm surprised it's still allowed to be read in the United States of America. And we're going to look at another book to turn your heart around. And then we're going to look at the coming theocracy and its monarch. Quite a ride down the political helter-skelter coming along today. And one last thing. We're going to look at the last great patsy. And if you don't know who the patsy in the room is, well, that's going to be you. So let's find out more. We're going to have a link to answer the most important questions regarding this coming theocracy, how to vote for it with your heart. Should be enough to get you interested. So let's get started. All right, down the political helter-skelter. So what is a helter-skelter? Well, it's a slide popular in England from days gone by. And most of my days have gone by at 60 years of age now. So I put a picture up. It looks like an upside-down ice cream cone. And what you did was you climbed the stairs that were inside the device and you slid down on a mat to the bottom. Nothing like today's maniacal heart-pounding rides, that's for sure. But it serves to show the human condition when it comes to politics. So let me tell you more. I grew up in a very politically charged environment. Belfast, Northern Ireland. To observe and participate in the cultural identities of those times was without doubt captivating. It was a time of fear, uncertainty, an identity to a group without question. Why one politician, a Prime Minister of Ireland no less, stated that the peoples of Northern Ireland were irreducibles. What do you mean by that? Well, you can't get rid of them politically. There's too many of them, so you have to get rid of them physically. By what means he was going to get rid of the irreducibles of Northern Ireland was clear. Emigration to sympathetic lands was a choice. Conversion to the dominant political plan was a choice. Or extinction by all other means was a choice. I didn't want any of them. Now, behind all of this helter-skeltering, there is an age-old triumvirate, and it goes like this. There is a dominant religion in the land, and the dominant religion in the land controls the political power that that religion enforces. It controls the religion and the political power through the education that keeps the religion and its political views in sway. It's quite a circular compartment. Now, what does this mean for the sheeple, us, the people, and what is it a problem for us? Well, societies, cultures, and the commerce that supports them, they're fascinating things. And in Northern Ireland, I was not prepared to stay, so I was prepared to move and look for more than what was given. What is everybody looking for that isn't given? They're looking for political, economic, social, and moral freedom to live by their terms. Now, I cared for those who had hardened themselves into the violent voice of the tribe while growing up in Northern Ireland. And I was very sympathetic to many of all concerns' views. but it wasn't for me. Now, I live in America, a land and population under siege by every political view going. The very idea that America exists offends just about everyone. And at its core is the very idea of a political condition that allows the dissenters the right to dissent. That's beyond my thinking. But that's what makes America, America. Now back to the Helter Skelter. In my young days, while living in England, I actually rode one of these devices of amusement. So what you did was you paid at the door, as you see in the photograph. You climb the wooden steps up to the top, and you were given a wooden mat. You then went out on the top opening and sat down on the mat and were taken to the bottom with a rush. It lasted just a few seconds, then thump, you hit the bottom. Want to go again? Well, here's the analogy, and thus the title, Down the Political Helter Skelter. We've built a helter skelter here in America, the American political machine, that a fan that offers one and all a ride. You pay to play, always. America has an admission. It costs money. How did it get to this? Our American helter skelter was designed as a republic. Not many people seem to know that. With the republic has long since disappeared. So we may as well find out what is a republic. Well, in the dictionary, it states that it is this. It is a state in which supreme power is held by the people and their elected representatives, and which has an elected or nominated president rather than a monarch. But you wouldn't know that today, and you wouldn't know how we got there today. And I'm going to tell you. We are governed under a republic by a rule of law and a constitution of checks and balances, all slipping away down the helter-skelter of New Deals and more. We the people aren't the supreme anything but a consumer. That is all. We are viewed as a democracy now, and what a thing it is. So if we're not a republic and we claim to be a democracy, the most obvious question is, what is a democracy? Well, first of all, there's three phases to a democracy. A democracy can't be defined as something as simple as a republic where we let something get in the way of us like law and rules and morals. And the question is, why does it even matter to discuss this today? Well, people are sick of politicians and the lies, and more lies they spout about things they say they will do and don't. So here's the three phases that you experience in a democracy. And then we'll define it. Phase one, it's a political democracy ordained that members of different population groups vote together, legislate together, and rule together. Sort of a slippy republic without the law getting in the way. A political democracy begins as a means of protecting property and life. Somewhat what the republic was all about whenever England was trying to do what it was doing to the colonists. Now, phase two is whenever you move from a political democracy of the rules that govern people living, working, voting together and legislating, you come to an economic democracy, and it ordains that diverse elements work together. An economic democracy seeks to distribute property that phase one produces. And there's a term for that, and it's called socialism, where we try to have all of these New Deals and everything of Roosevelt and so on to help the impoverished among us and to bring the world on up into better places. And you've read the speeches. And phase three is social democracy. Ordains that diverse elements live together. Even if they have to force you by laws that say you must when you don't want to. A social democracy encourages the theft of property that phase one produces and phase two encourages. And if you don't believe that, and if you doubt me on that, read what a much-in-the-news religious and political ideology says about phase three. That's all I need to say about that. Where would I go to find out about that? Go to the shiny internets of things and look up the current news in Europe. So a democracy is a sort of a helter-skelter that starts out well at the top when you pay to play, and you end up at the bottom faster than you thought you would get there. And if you want to go back to the top, you've got to pay again, but only if you're allowed back in. There's a book. And there's a book that reveals this helter-skelter, and we mentioned it in our introduction. And it sure is a poke in the eye to the people running these programs that we're facing today. And this helter-skelter ride that only goes one way, and that is down, this book lambasts it. The book is a deep look into the actions of today. And I'm surprised that it isn't banned reading in my own country. But not surprised, because no one reads unless it's the gossip rags and the shiny objects of the Internet of Things. Now, of course, there's always the exception to the rule that people do read a lot of books, and unfortunately, this isn't one of the top choices because everybody has an agenda themselves, and this book is not for their agenda. What's this book called? Animal Farm by George Orwell. I read this when I was 17. I read it several times. And what is at the heart of this book? It depicts the process whereby the owner of the farm is run off, his farm, by the ruling pigs and their dogs. And the other animals are forced to work. Work under the terms and conditions of fear and loathing or else. That's all I'm going to say, because I want you to read the book, and I want you to go and read it now. You should. You owe it to yourself. You could read it a couple hours. If you drive in your car to work, download it as an audiobook, and get an education. And at the corner of culture and commerce and life and living, you need more than your income. You need truth. That's found in another book. Oh, there is another book. And in this book, which I call The Unknown Book, it's without peer in these matters. For within its pages is a promise that there will be a government. It will rest upon the shoulders of only one person. That one person is without peer in history. The Unknown Book is written by God. Oh, the cries and the political fallout just from a statement like that, that I would presume to conceive that there's even a God, because we're not allowed to have him anymore. This once great land was founded by people who actually knew the contents of this unknown book, and they applied it. The results produced the richest, most powerful, envied, and hated nation in the world of men. Why, nations waged all kinds of wars against it in order to stop it existing. But people will do and do anything and still do just about everything they can to get into this land. Why do people go to such lengths if it's such a despised and hated helter-skelter of a place? Because of the ideas it represented, because of the freedom it promised. Because they could see this farm was nothing like the one they lived in and endured. So what is the greatest irony among men is they don't even realize or know that this theocracy, this coming kingdom with a monarch, and this very notion of government isn't even new. In fact, it's the original idea of how we should live and enjoy living with every attendant benefit and privilege. But we refuse the original terms and conditions. Yes, there was an original plan, and it's laid out in the Unknown Book. The terms of this theocracy was the rule of man by God, based upon a moral condition and requirement. There's that thing, that moral condition, and oh my, that can't be tolerated, won't be countenanced. And the reply is, we'll do this on our own. And the dead cry out without end from the wars to try and bring in the political helter-skelter that people have to pay to play with. So we're coming upon the last great political season. And in this season we're facing, there sits all three views of a democracy. Can you identify the representative candidates on the television? I can, and it's not a wholesome sight. So what is the real prize in this helter-skelter? Well, I hear it put like this once, and I think it pretty apropos. If you go to a card game, and you sit down to play, and you don't know who the patsy is, you're the patsy. I've been a patsy many times, but not always at a card game. But I certainly have. And now the United States of America is the patsy. And there is a conspired card game going on to bring it down. And it began a long time ago through man refusing how this country was set up and started to where it's now down toward the bottom of the helter-skelter. But it's too late, baby. Now it's just too late. Listen, we want to return to something we no longer will accept. The rule of law and the self-controls morally that it requires of its citizens. The infrastructure is no longer there to provide it. Face this. Political correctness, meaning everything and anything goes, and you can't touch it without getting lashings of loathing from the politically correct. Realize this. Political correctness is what the farm devolved down into. Those who are irreducibles will be dealt with, and that in no uncertain terms, as you read the book. Act upon this. Your political freedoms and personal choices now reside inside the only government that will ever last. It is chosen by a moral vote. You choose a king who took great steps to free you from the tyranny you don't even recognize in your life today. You accept the moral requirements placed upon you by this monarch, or you do not. If you would like to learn more, I've put a link on the site that you can go and see, and I recommend that you take the time to go and do that. All right, a little recap. We've gone down the political helter-skelter in America, and it didn't take 200 years. The old triumvirate that's been sitting in the background of religion, politics and education that seek to shelter and control the situation as it is, as it affects in America now. The religion is a very broad-based humanistic view, a denial of rules of law, of truth, of absolutes. Everything is relative. You live the way you want as long as you don't bother anybody else. But whenever you give the rights to people who live a deviant life, acceptance into the mainstream, they demand that you now allow them all the attendant privileges that you enjoy as the mainstream, and it just goes down the road. There's another book you might want to look at, The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire by a Mr. Lamb, to get a good idea on what we are discussing today. which I've lightly touched on. And if you think that this is redeemable, if you think that this is being able to be brought back from the brink, then next week we'll be talking, or at least in the daily emails from Monday through Friday of next week, I'll be supporting this podcast with 5 political emails looking at different facets of what we're looking at coming down the road in the next few years. Okay, what we're going to do next week is we're going to bring on someone who deals in the political, religious world, and he's a friend of mine. And I'd like you to know that he also works with Native Americans. He's also worked in Cambodia. He's also worked in Canada. And he's also worked in Oklahoma on the reservations and other places like that. And his name's Billy Hoss. And we're going to go deeper with him and look into his head and see what goes on in his thinking. We're going to look at his heart and what makes him do what he does. And we're going to see how he does it, how he puts his hand to actions and work in the world of man. See you next time.
You've been listening to Fresh Oil with Billy Delaney. Thanks for pressing play.